Oh, speaking of one of our state lawmakers, he's right there across from us here this morning. You heard nothing, by the way, of this conversation, Representative Tim McGinnis.
I was just enjoying the Talking Heads song, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, what have I walked into?
That's exactly the way I want to create the next yoke of 10 minutes of conversation.
Wow.
Put you right on your toes,
wow,
on the edge of your seat here this morning. Mission accomplished, right,
DJ Slide? I didn't have any coffee this morning. That woke me up.
Loosen them right up.
Sort of like the way in which I woke up the people at that event at the Peanut Warehouse with a few choice words over the weekend to get their attention. For an off-air conversation coming your way here in 10 minutes. All right, Representative McGinnis, 2 weeks in, you'll be back to work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, meaning the legislative session over in Columbia. Okay, so could you kind of give us a quick synopsis of the last 6 days of legislative business in Columbia?
Well, depending on your view, this is the time when this isn't a great time. This is when the sausage gets made. This is when bills are going through the committee process. Things are being negotiated. We've seen the bill that's held us up the longest on the floor, because we're not going into session as a big General Assembly quite as much right now to give committees more time to meet. And some of those committee meetings run 5-6 hours, depending on what they're taking up, particularly over in Judiciary right now. But we took up a vaping regulatory bill on Thursday that did pass, and there was there's some consternation by some people over it. That it didn't go far enough, and this, that, and the other thing. Frankly, I voted for it. I will vote for anything that gives a little bit of, you know, I don't like regulation, but I also don't like products being in stores that we have no idea what's in them, and people are taking them into their lungs, and some of those people are kids, and I just think we need to be real careful. We're careful with cigarettes. We've studied those, and we've had exposés on them over the years and found out they went from being something doctors recommended to something doctors said, don't touch, don't think about, don't even be around people who are doing it. And, you know, with vaping, I think it's still out there, and we just got to be careful with it.
On top of the vaping bill, you mentioned the word regulation, and not a big fan of regulation, particularly on business. That was also a topic du jour last week, what they call the Regulatory Freedom Act, I think, is being discussed out there in Columbia.
Yeah, the Regulatory Freedom Act, I think that's going through the committee process right now, and I haven't – that's not one that I'm 100% up on. You know, that's the beauty of the committee process. You know, everybody is assigned to at least one committee. Most of us are on two or three committees. But when you get a bill go through, you have the subcommittee process where you take testimony and you hear from people about stakeholders about what the implications are going to be. If it passes that, it goes to the full committee. If the full committee approves it, they don't take testimony in full committee. It's really just a debate, though the chairs can from time to time give special give special permission for people to come up and testify in that process. But for the most part, that's when it gets debated subcommittee, it gets voted up or down in full committee. If it makes it through the full committee, could make it to the House floor.
Talking with State Representative Tim McGinnis from right here in Horry County, giving us a legislative update as the session will resume tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yep.
They're at work in the House and the Senate. One of the things that has popped up, because we speak with Republican Party leadership at the state level nearly every Friday, a little after 9 o'clock, has been this talk about closing the primaries when it comes to voting here in our state. We've got a very big primary coming up here in the state in June. The Republican leadership, i.e. The chair, Drew McKissick, a little bit at odds with other Republicans. As you navigate the legislature and have had for the number of years, are you ever surprised at just how many differing opinions people who are affiliated with the same party have when it comes to any issue of the day?
Well, let's address the elephant in the room. That's why I'm here. You know, because I heard a lawmaker from another part of the state coming on to talk about these two bills, and that lawmaker it does not caucus with Republicans. I don't have a problem with people who are in the Freedom Caucus. In fact, a lot of them are great friends of mine. We share similar ideas. We work on legislation together. But I think sometimes as a group, it gets a little unfair because, you know, what has happened historically is you have two parties. You set your caucus agendas, and then you go try to fix them. Not everybody in every party is going to agree. You're going to, you know, you're going to have a far right, you're going to have a moderate right. You're going to have a far left, you're going to have a moderate left. You get a bill, you say we want to close primaries. Well, here's the bill. let's debate it. Let's take it through that subcommittee process, take the parts out we don't like, fix it, and then negotiate with each other and then push it on. What's happened here, and it happens a lot, we have two competing bills. We have 3310, which was filed back in November, I think, of 24. So it's been out there for a while. Then you have 3643, which is relatively new to the block. 3643 shuts it down. It closes primaries, and that's about it. 3310 also, it closes them, but also goes a little bit further in saying that if you want to run for office, you have to vote, I believe it's in three-party primaries previous. There's a lot of talk about that bill out there to exclude a candidate for attorney general.
Sure.
The bill was introduced before that person even said in public he was thinking about running as a Republican for attorney general. Mm. It was not targeted at anybody. And frankly, I don't know whether I like that provision or not. But again, I signed on to 3643 because – or I'm sorry, 3310. You really get lost in numbers.
Yes, you
out
do.
There. But yeah, I signed on to 3310 originally, the thinking being we'll negotiate it out. You know, you have several opportunities to amend a bill. You
sure.
can do it in subcommittee. You can do it in full committee, though some committee chairs don't like doing it in full committee. They want it to come out of subcommittee with the amendments.
Sure.
But you also have a chance, and we saw it with the vaping bill that we talked about, can get amended on the floor. So, I mean, just because a bill has something in it that you don't like, give it the chance to make it through the committee process.
Sure.
And in this case, I think a lot of there's just been a lot of mud being thrown because this is a highly contentious issue, not just between Republicans and Democrats, between Republicans themselves. If we pass any bill, chances are it's not going to go anywhere because the Senate's indicated they don't even want to take it up. And the governor said if it gets on his desk, he'll veto it. So we're making a lot of ado about something that probably isn't even going to be able to make it to the finish line in this session. If we have a new governor next year who's more amenable to it, things might change. Senators might change their mind. Personally, I've heard from so many people in my district that they want closed primaries. I'm backing closed primaries. I will vote for a bill that closes primaries. I will talk with my senators and try to encourage them to do the will of the people who elected us and close the primaries. That's what I was elected to do. That's what I'm going to do is represent the people who are reaching out to me and telling me what they want.
So despite all this noise, as you said, likely going nowhere fast in terms of this legislative session and making movement on this, something that's been a part of the state Republican Party agenda for years on end, per the SCGOP chairman, Mr. McKissick. All right, you are a restaurant owner, a local business owner. A lot of people still feel that we haven't gone far enough when it comes to liquor liability reform in our state. We passed a bill last year. Do you think we need to go a step further on this? And if so, what does that look like?
I think, you know, we need to keep exploring tort reform in general. I think I've probably said it on this show before. I'm not a big fan of attorneys. Now, if you were an attorney sitting here, I'd say, except Joe. Joe's a great one. And I do, you know, a lot of my friends are attorneys. Some of them are probably even listening right now. And I understand that they need to make money, but we also need to make sure that the system isn't going to bankrupt people who are just out there trying to make a living. They're employing people. They're doing the best they can. Does the victim in these cases deserve some kind of remuneration for what happened? Of course. But we need to make it fair. We need to make it where you're not just bankrupting people based on – let's face it, sometimes they're frivolous lawsuits. Sometimes, like in the case of the woman in Charleston who was killed on her wedding night, it's not. You know, we just need to make sure the right people are being held accountable. I think that the law that we passed gets there, gets halfway there, but I think we need to keep looking at it, and we need to keep coming up with ways that we can get people's insurance rates not to be so high. But the whole insurance business is basically a building on fire. For those of you Talking Head fans, you might get a little Easter egg there. But I really do. I think it really is just something we need to we need to take care of.
And that's not an issue here in South Carolina. This is something legislatures all over the country are working through right now as well.
Exactly. And it is because of what's happening in the insurance industry. And I don't – you know, insurance industries switch ownership a lot, the big ones. And right now, you know, a lot of them are held by hedge funds. And those hedge funds, when it's fine and dandy when you're making money, but when you have hurricanes, when you have wildfires, and when you have things that that are natural disasters that just cost them billions and billions of dollars, they throw that money back at you. And then you have some states that you know, make it easier for the homeowners. Thankfully, I don't think South Carolina is one of them, but South Carolina is kind of caught in the crosshairs because of everything happening in Florida, everything happening in California, everything happening in other places, and our insurance goes up. And because we're on the coast, even though we haven't had a direct hit from a hurricane in gosh knows how long, we've had brushes and we've had tropical storms, but, you know, a major hurricane, and I'm finding something to knock on here, we haven't had anything to worry about. So why are our insurance rates high? Mm. Because of what's happening in Florida and the fact that we are prone to it. I mean, we can never rule out that we aren't going to get another Hugo. In fact, we probably are, and the question's not if, but when.
Talking with State Representative Tim McGinnis for a few more minutes here in Horry County. They'll be back to work in Columbia for legislative business tomorrow,
I'll
Wednesday.
Be in the car this time tomorrow driving to Columbia.
And then again Thursday, you know, maybe tuned into the Hot Talk Morning Show, getting all chapped because we invited someone from outside the area to come in and take your attention somewhere else, which is why, as he said, he's here this morning. He says, I want to clear the air here. I don't know what you guys were discussing, but I want to make sure I'm telling our side of the story, or at least my view as to how things are going on in Columbia. One of the other topics that caught my attention the other day was the fact that one of our local elected officials or state elected officials decided that we were going to file a bill that would name the pipe dream that is I-73, the Donald J. Trump Parkway. Nothing better than cruising on the DJT on your way to Myrtle Beach. But we're no closer today than we were 30 years ago and actually making this a reality. I had thought it was a joke at first, and I'm like, why are we naming highways that don't exist? Let's work on the funding. To which then some of our listeners said, hey, listen, we're just playing into the ego of DJT. Maybe if we say we're going to name him the highway after him, maybe then it'll catch his attention, and then he'll pull the levers to get some federal funding for this interstate that's been in the works for 30 years.
Fascinating. What a great idea.
So you're telling me that's maybe, peeling the curtain back a little bit. That was maybe the intent to get this on the radar, the state, federal level, to try and make this thing get up to speed here?
Fascinating. I think that is a wonderful, wonderful idea.
All right. On to the next topic conversation.
I'll expand on that a little bit. I interviewed Donald Trump in 2016 before he was, 2015 before. Right. God, that was 10 years ago. Anyway, I interviewed him the day that Hillary announced she was running for office. And I went in there loaded. You know how it is when you go into an interview and you want to make sure, you give them every opportunity to trip over their own tongue. And he did a great job, to be honest with you. I was. You can go look at it. Google Tim McGinnis WPDE in YouTube, and I think it'll pop up. And put Trump in there too, and watch the interview because I thought he handled himself well. But one of those questions I asked was I-73. People here have wanted it for a long time. We're the only tourist destination west of the Mississippi, east of the Mississippi, not to have interstate access. If you're elected, what will happen with I-73? And he told me, your head will spin so fast. You won't believe it, something to that effect, if I'm elected as far as I-73 is concerned. I'm still waiting for my head to spin. I asked Alan Clemens, and this was 17, 18 years ago. I asked him on it when I was interviewing him. I said, Alan Clemens being former state representative from Myrtle Beach. And I asked him because he was a big proponent of I-73. My son is 3 now. when he's 16, will he be driving on I-73? He said, yes, he will. My son turned 20 this year. For evacuation, in terms of industry, in terms of alleviating local traffic, I believe I-73 is necessary. I believe the majority of people out there believe it's necessary. There's some people who say it isn't. I believe it is. Anything we can do to get that road built that's legal and above board, I think we should be trying to do it.
And that includes, of course, naming said highway without a shovel in the ground after the 45th and 47th president of the United States. And I just think it has a good ring to it. I said this could be on every spray T-shirt and a rap song for ever and ever and ever that I'm cruising on the DJT over to MB and the Grand Strand. I mean, that does have a kind of a ring to it.
Fascinating idea. but I will say we're not saying we're going to name I-73 Donald. It's still going to be I-73. You drive on veterans highways. Sure. You drive on the Hugh Leatherman Exchange. I mean, they have ceremonial names, but it remains I-73.
talking once again with Representative Tim McGinnis here at the state level, just a few more minutes with him. And I know that you're not necessarily privy to all the conversations with to how we're going to spend money. You'll ultimately vote on a budget, right, as we work through this year, hopefully. But having said that, state growing, our coffers are filled. We've had surpluses. Are we getting over our heels and trying to spend too much money in our state, or you think we're at appropriate levels at this point?
So a few years ago, DOT came to us, and we have the most state roads of any state, again, east of the Mississippi. I think we're pretty close to in the whole country.
Fourth, I think.
Yeah, close to 500,000 miles. And so those roads need a lot of work. So former DOT commissioner or DOT superintendent years ago, Christy Hall, said came before my committee, which is Education Public Works, but we get a briefing from DOT because of that public works component.
Sure.
We don't give them money, but we set some of the policy. And she said, we don't need money. She said, you could give us all the money in the world. We can't spend it because we don't have the contractors and the workers out there to do that type of work. The companies just weren't here. Fast forward, this was about 5 years ago. We have them now. And Justin Lambert, who's our new DOT superintendent,
sure,
who actually is from Horry County.
Yep.
He may not be from here, but he worked here just prior to taking on the job up there. And he says, we need that money now. We've got the companies in place. We've got to do the work. Our infrastructure, and I was just having this conversation with somebody last night on an unrelated topic, but our infrastructure is really lacking, and not just Myrtle Beach, Horry County, but over the whole state. But I will say, because we are such a big donor county, and I heard you talking with Mayor Crewa before this, because we're such a big donor county, we need that money coming back locally. So that's what we went from having one Horry County delegation member on Ways and Means. We now have two. Three, if you want to include Lee Hewitt down in Georgetown,
sure,
who works with us a lot. So we're getting more representation on the Ways and Means Committee, which is a 25-member committee, which really has the final say in dispersing that money until it gets to a vote by us, and then we tear it apart. And, don't call me Budget Week, which is some week. They haven't said it, I think, for sure right now in March, but that's a tough week. And I see a light coming on probably saying McGinnis is talking.
You know the sounds and the signs as to when we got to wrap. And with that said, we still have another minute before we let you go. Thank you for the detailed report here this morning from the legislative session. Last but not least, it might not be on your radar, but will be in the not-so-distant future, moving into the next cycle. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with the One Big Beautiful Bill and some of the implications that will come with that, because I was talking with some reporters who have been digging through this, and it comes to federal funding for things like SNAP and food stamps. Looks like the federal government is going to pull that back to some extent here in the next few years, which is going to leave the monies and the funds incomplete. And that's where the state's going to have to step in. Do you think we're in position to fill that gap without all different sorts of knowledge and information as to what all goes into this?
I think that's something that's going to have to be worked out over time. I know that there are going to be community groups out there pushing against this, and that there are some aspects of it. I think some of the intent in that kind of comes from DOGE, which is, a lot of these programs, like SNAP, they are doing some good for some people, but it's also being taken advantage of big time.
Sure.
And I think we need to look into these programs, cut the waste, cut the fraud, cut the abuse where we can, and help the people who really need it. Because let's face it, when you're abusing the system, you're not just abusing me, the taxpayer, but you're abusing the person who really needs it.
Sure.
And is getting denied it because you are driving a Rolls Royce, but going to the grocery store to buy all your groceries with SNAP benefits that you really don't deserve.
And with that said, you also serve on the Committee of Government Efficiency, so that would line up right in your alley in terms of taking a deeper dive at this when it comes to the table.
That's right.
Representative McGinnis, as always, thanks for the time. Looking forward to more of these updates regularly through the session. Appreciate it.
Joe, call me anytime.
Look at that. So easy. Just give him a call, shoot him a text. State Representative Tim McGinnis of Horry County here with us this morning. They'll be back to work in Columbia tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.